At the National Guard Air Base in Charleston, 10 tiny homes are lined up in two rows.
This is amazing.
How are you?
Good. You guys just found it.
The homes were built by high school students at 12 vocational centers across the state. Most of these homes, there are 15 total, are less than 500 square feet, but are designed to house 2 to 6 people. For reference, the average American home is about 2,500 square feet, according to the Census Bureau. So when the students say, tiny home, they mean it.
Up here's the loft, that's where they sleep, that's where the hot water tank stays. Then right here's like your living area, living quarters. You're gonna have like a refrigerator here. Your stove's in there. They're working on that right now.
That's Dakota Cart, one of the students working on the project at Carver Career Center in Charleston.
Where will the living room be?
Just right here. Since it's a tiny house, everything's a little compact.
We are standing in the house's living room, which also serves as a kitchen, dining room, and bedroom. All in all, the structure is little bigger than a generous walk-in closet. The schools received $20,000 for the project from the Board of Education. It should also be noted that all of the tiny homes also received significant support, both financial and labor, from the school's communities.
Folks in West Virginia were still suffering, even though all the press had gone away. You know, it's just like a new story. There's a new day.
That's Kathy D'Antoni, Chief Officer for Career Technical Education. She headed up a team that came up with the idea of the technical centers building tiny homes for flood victims. The idea was that instead of technical students building birdhouses or shelves, they could use the skills that they were learning in class, carpentry, electrical work, plumbing, welding, to help out families still struggling after the floods.
And it's a killer time frame for these schools. It takes normally 4 to 6 months to build a tiny home. They've done it in 9 weeks.
The hope was that the flood victims would be in the homes by Christmas. That goal was not quite met. Partially because although a majority of the homes were finished before the holiday, the local relief agencies still needed to coordinate building concrete foundations for the homes. They also needed to make sure that there are available electric, water, and sewer hookups. The local National Guard volunteered to transport the structures to their new locations. One will go to Brenda Rivers in Sinks Grove.
Nicely, I have to get my music. I can't play by ear.
We are at River's daughter's house, just outside Alderson. At my request, she pulls out a dulcimer, one of the things she was able to save from her old house, and begins to play. A 7-year-old pug watches lazily from a neatly made bed that has been installed in the middle of the living room. Rivers is a retired nurse who lived in her home beside the Greenbrier River for 18 years. During the flood, she, her dog, and cat evacuated in a tiny camper to a neighbor's driveway up the hill. When she returned to the house several days later, there was 6 inches of mud on the floor and water marks 2 feet up the wall.
Did you ever think that, I can clean this up and I can still live here?
Oh, yeah.
But it quickly became evident that just hosing off the mud wasn't an option. Not only was the foundation knocked off kilter, she says, but the mud hardened to a concrete-like substance that had to be scrubbed rather than sprayed off.
We had to carry everything out and put it in a dump truck. So, like, my whole life was, like, coming out there. Sorry.
Rivers was unable to find a rental property that would take her dog or allow her to sign a month-to-month lease. So she moved her camper onto the back of her daughter's property and lived there for the summer, only moving into the living room when it became too cold to continue living outside.
Is living here, would be living in this house permanently an option?
No. I couldn't live here.
It's too chaotic, she explains. River's daughter has 5 children, all of whom are homeschooled. Periodically, the sounds of children's voices drift through the closed door. Rivers is getting one of the tinier tiny homes, although it is bigger than her camper. She says she is really looking forward to moving in, hopefully in the next week or two, but doesn't foresee herself living there permanently. Even a trailer, she explains, would have more space. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.